Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Talk Review with Pimelo Modene.
On the street.
On the air.
One page at a time.
My guest today is the author of a book called Led by Shepherds. It's an initiations memoir, and this initiate he's been very brave in putting this together. Jeffrey Ragabe is my guest, the author of, as I said, Led by Shepherds, on the line with us. But Jeffrey, I would have loved to see you, but good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo. Good to speak to you again.
Gosh. Jeffrey, as I was saying earlier, you know, you write this book as someone who wants to blow the lid on what happens in initiation school. And maybe just for by way of background, just tell the listeners, you know, how old you were, for instance, when you went Kokomeng, and what led you there?
Oh, I was 12 when I went to the initiation school from Limpopo, actually. So what led me there was actually to honor my tradition, as so many people from my village do attend that initiation. So I couldn't wait to go there. Actually, I wanted to go when I was 7 years old in 2003. My mother said no, that I was young. And 2006, when I was 12 years old, I cried and said, no, I need to go there to be a man amongst other men. And I wanted to just get off that title that I'm a womanish boy called Leshoboro. So what led me there was to honor my tradition, but at the same time, it was peer pressure from other friends of mine who actually went there.
The cover of your book, I mean, leaves me quite cold, because you say you are 12. You look like you were 9 on the cover.
You
look very young. But this is obviously a picture that you took at the very end of the entire ritual and the process when you were about to go home. And I'm struck by what looks like, I don't know whether this is a smile or you were just forced to pretend like you're smiling. But your account of it sounds like it was a harrowing account for you.
No, it was. Actually, the smile is some sort of discomfort and tiredness and just being shocked at what I just went through for 3 weeks. You know, I spent 3 weeks without drinking water. So that shocked me, that how can the body just endure just drinking water whereas I was still peeing and eating. So the smile was just shock, as did I survive what I just survived, or what I saw in there was not what I expected, you know. So it was still a nightmare even at the end of the day.
You admit to the fact that you are probably going to be seen by many as a traitor, someone who, you know, men are not supposed to speak about the experiences in initiation school. And you also then ask the question, if someone asked you if you would do it again, you say, yes, you would definitely do it.
Yes.
Talk to me about the duality, because as you account for what was happening there, you came across as a traumatized boy. You know, this was not easy. And you don't seem to have fallen in love with the experience, but you say you would do it again.
Yes. I mean, I would speak out again if I have to. So what I mean is that when I went to the initiation as little boy, so we go there when we are young in Limpopo for the indoctrination and the domestication to work properly. So they tell us life, that it's beautiful in there, life's shining. There's a train made of bread and peanut butter. There's a stadium. You're going to play soccer.
I'm not laughing because it certainly is not funny when you read the book. But I thought it was funny at the time reading, because you also, as someone so yearning, I mean, I could see it was palpable. You so desperately want to be a part of this community. You believe everything.
No, I did. Most of us did, you know. So, but when I got in there, I was surprised that I'm just in a bush full of men, you know. So, and the circumcision that happened to me was horrible. But what became more horrible was the teaching, you know. So we sang horrible songs about women. We sang, I mean, horrible songs about our mothers, our sisters. And again, we endured some coldness and brutal beatings of our shepherds in front of us. So it was just, even when I bled and couldn't heal, it was my shepherd's fault. He had to endure some beatings, and it was just traumatic for the both of us to just go this through, this African ritual where I looked to him to protect me, but he needed protection from me as well, you know. So I just couldn't take it anymore. The vulgar, and you link it to gender-based violence in South Africa, and you ask yourself, is there a link as to what we are being taught in there and what is happening in South Africa today, and what is our responsibility as men, and what is the purpose of that tradition, male circumcision in the world of today? You know, so that is the question that I wanted to ask. And when I answer that question throughout the book, I will definitely do it again.
You speak of how, of course, not everyone's experience will be seen like your own experience. So people will have different perspectives on this. But you do highlight what you think is going on, mainly in many initiation schools, that there is this culture that's cultivated of disrespecting women, of seeing yourselves as better than, as the authority on women, and so on. When you exchange your stories with your counterparts, do they share the same sentiments as you when you reflect on how women are portrayed in these spaces?
Did they? I didn't hear a question very well.
I'm saying when you share your stories with others, you know, not necessarily those who you went to the same initiation school with, do they share the same sentiments about the experiences of how women were portrayed in that space?
Yeah, of course, we do. It's just that at the same time, we need to wear our tradition with pride and honor and protect it. But we do believe that traditional male initiation is a school for doing stupid things. You know, and so many people who went to that initiation no longer want to go back there just to see what is going on for fear of being beaten, because you just beaten because you are a man. So I think they do. They do. I spoke to a lot of men and a lot of my friends. They believe, as I believe. It's just that they wouldn't dare express themselves as I do, for fear of getting out of line, because we have been told that if we ever reveal the initiation secrets, you're going to get mad or you die. So...
and it leads me to my next question, because the decision to write about, because you go into serious detail, I mean, you don't just gloss over it, you really go into detail. The decision to speak about what happens when you know tradition says you shouldn't, how easy was that for you?
It was not easy at all, because it's been 20 years since I attended that initiation, and I never thought of it in my life about what is the meaning of everything, until my partner held me accountable after the death of Winene Mhwejani. And that's when I started to reflect. Even when I started to reflect, telling her as a woman was very much difficult, because I shouldn't be sharing this with women. But she made it easy for me to carry the weight of writing this book and finally getting to my conclusions of what I believe is true about traditional male initiation. So it was not easy, but luckily I had a partner who was very much supportive and carrying this load with me.
Do others, how do they feel, particularly men, how do they feel about another one of you speaking up about what happened inside?
I can't tell, but obviously you're going to be seen like a traitor. I think it's just going to be shocked, because traditional male initiation has never been spoken about in public for so long. And you look around, there's not even so many writings about traditional male initiation. So I think shock as to how did you even get there to even write about it, and to go even further, link it with gender-based violence. So I think it's just going to be shock and surprise, and you seem like a traitor.
I wondered about your mother reading this, because I imagine she would not have known what you were going through until the manuscript came through. And you really describe wholeheartedly how your mother was left feeling so helpless. Yeah. Of course, she didn't want you to go in the first place. So, no. You know, feeling as helpless as she was when she saw you eventually go. What was her reaction after knowing what actually went on in there?
I think I never told her what went on in there. Mm. I never spoke about initiation up until this point in time when I wrote this book. You know, it's something that I suppressed deep within me that I wanted to just throw it. Because for me, it was just humiliation. Because what I found out is that traditional male initiation in South Africa and in other African continents is not just this big African tradition that turns boys into men, whatever that means. But, you know, I think it also consisted of those little humiliations that I started deep inside me, of telling tons of phrases, you know, and starting facial expressions. So I just wanted to put that shame in there, that even when they circumcised me, I cried, which means I failed. So I never really spoke to my mother about initiation. We never spoke about that. Up until I spoke about it with my partner when we're reflecting about what could be done with gender-based violence in South Africa and what is that thing that could hold South African men accountable, because I believe further that it doesn't matter whether you're from initiation school or not, but we men believe in the very same thing that the initiation teaches, even though we are not from initiation.
There seems to be quite a distinct attempt to alter the personality and the makeup of this young person that walks into an initiation school. You speak of how you do come out transformed, and you speak of how actually it's not necessarily for the good, but you are transformed nonetheless. You speak of how, you know, sweet young boys walk in there and come out being quite vulgar, quite hard, quite rude, and so on. How come you didn't change?
I don't know. It's just that maybe I spent so much time in there reflecting and taking into note what I'm being taught. And I think for me, it was just wrong to think that black women are witches. She can offer me sex and I can accept. We are not swearing. We are praising you, you know. So it just didn't feel right with me throughout, because I think I was so close with my mother, more so than I was with my father, because he was in Johannesburg working. So I couldn't just stand singing songs that dehumanized my mother. So I think that is one thing that kept me strong, my mother's love. And that when I left for the initiation, she cried for me. And when I came back, she told me that you hate me so much. I cried every night for your safety and for you to just come back alive. So I think her love kept me strong, and I kept on thinking about it.
You know, it's a difficult one, and you pose this in the book, of course you want to honor tradition, but there are these other problematic things that go on in there. What would you then say to a young person who is going to go to initiation school this year, for instance? What would you say to that young person?
I would tell them not to go.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's what I would tell them, not to go. And I think it's a conversation that we have to be willing to have as a country, because we are not willing to have that conversation as a country, that initiation in South Africa is one of the most problematic issues. We're going into November, December, and now people boys are going to die. And contrarians are just going to come into us and tell us, no, things have changed this time. But how many times have they been saying that? And boys are still going to die, and their genitals are still going to be cut and butchered. And they're just going to say, no, it's the illegal school. So according to me, every initiation school in South Africa is illegal. Boys die in illegal schools and in legal schools. I just tell you to go to the hospital and get circumcised, because that place is not good for you. It's not tradition. It's not culture. There's nothing that you're going to honor in there. You might lose your life. So is it better to die as Africans than to just live as human beings? I think that's the question that I would even go further to ask.
You obviously speak of, you know, the technical bit of circumcision being problematic and unsafe and all of that. But you also speak of, again, culture. So would you then advocate for the entire thing to be scrapped? Or, yes, take the child to the hospital and then keep the culture of the school itself? What's your thought on that? That's what a lot of these other leaders are advocating for.
it's a long story. You cannot just abolish it on a single day. So I wouldn't say that the initiation in its entirety must just be abolished. I'd say remove the bad things, because there are a lot of bad things, and put, I mean, leave what is working for us. And again, include women in this process, because becoming a man in a room full of men just only teaches you to perform masculinity, not how to be human. So that separation of women and from their sons to go into bushes and get taught what we don't know. So include women and remove all the bad things that are happening in the initiation, and keep the good things and transform it. We're living in the 21st century, so we need some bit of transformation, because no one can stand here and argue that traditional male initiation is working. No, it's not. It's dangerous. That's how it should be portrayed, the dangerous thing.
Jeffrey, it was certainly brave of you to go to initiation school at 12, but I also think it was braver for you to write this memoir. Congratulations to you. And as you said, you would do it over and over again. For that, we thank you. And thank you very much for making time for us again, for us today.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Jeffrey Rakabe is the author of Led by Shepherds. It's an initiates memoir. It was published by Jacana, and it is available at all good stores. It's called Led by Shepherds, and it's an initiates memoir. Jeffrey Rakabe is the author.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.